The movie The Da Vinci Code is about a secret that threatens the very foundations of Christianity, a secret you've probably heard all about, but that Bob Mondello will nonetheless keep under wraps in his review.
Robert Langdon, played by Tom Hanks, is an expert on symbols, a symbologist, if you will, who is lecturing in Paris when the police contact him about a murder. A curator at the Louvre has been found on the floor of the main art gallery, his body positioned in a way that is clearly meant to send a message?
The Vitruvian Man. It's one of Leonardo da Vinci's most famous sketches.
And the star on his skin?
A pentacle.
And its meaning?
The pinnacle is a pagan religious icon.
An icon representing the female half of everything. And right on cue, there's the female half of the story. Sophie, not a symbologist, a cryptologist, a code decipherer, who can spot an anagram at 50 paces, which comes in handy as they go on what amounts to a scavenger hunt, trying to unravel not just a murder mystery, but what turns out to be the holy grail of biblical mysteries. Feeling that they're out of their depth, they turn to, who else? An eccentric British knight, played by a pixie Ian McKellen. He too traces things back to Da Vinci, this time his Last Supper, a painting so familiar he asks Sophie to close her eyes and describe its details to him.
How many wine glasses are there on the table?
One, the Holy Grail.
Open your eyes. No single cup. No chalice. Well, that's a bit strange, isn't it? Considering both the Bible and standard Grail legends celebrate this moment as the definitive arrival of the Holy Grail.
Indeed. Now, a number of controversies have attached themselves to the Da Vinci Code, among them whether its secret is at root blasphemous, whether its story is anti-Catholic, and even whether it reinforces unfair stereotypes about albinos, though I'm not sure which stereotypes the crazed, self-flagellating assassin albino monk, Silas, could be said to reinforce. Tom Hanks has been trying to diffuse all of this in interviews by noting that the story is, quote, loaded with hooey, which I'd say about gets it right. The question is why it isn't more robust, invigorating hooey. The film, like the novel, is basically a series of long, complicated conversations that are not made any less long or complicated by being intoned urgently at high speeds on highways. Director Ron Howard seems to have realized that he could bring a visual clarity to the book's chatter about anagrams and cryptexes, just as he did to the mathematics in A Beautiful Mind. So there are flashbacks to the Middle Ages and letters and paintings rearranging themselves digitally. But the problem with making things clear this time is that the story is sort of lame when it's clear. On the page, mixed in with Dan Brown's clumsy travel guide descriptions of European tourist spots, the twists have a certain mystery to them. Streamlined for the screen, they fall pretty neatly into movie conventions, so by the end of the first hour, even folks who haven't read the book will know basically where everything's headed, which leaves another hour and a half of waiting for the characters to catch up. Or I suppose you could use the time to play with anagrams on your own. The title The Da Vinci Code seems a likely treasure trove with all those vowels. One thing it yields when rearranged is Catch de Video, admittedly by misspelling that middle word and with a couple of letters left over. Okay, that's a stretch. But then so's the movie. I'm Bob Mondello.